You may be seated. In this season when we have Christmas pageants and Christmas programs, there are stories that flood in of baubles within those programs, including the latest I heard where Mary and Joseph were going door to door asking for a room in the inn. There was no room in every inn, and then one door opened and said, when the Mary and Joseph asked the question, "Is there any room here?" The response of the innkeeper was, "You should have booked online." Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this particular gospel reading assigned for the fourth Sunday in Advent should really have two words as a preface: spoiler alert. Here is the gospel narrative of the birth of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew. It is the Christmas story, according to Matthew. We couldn't even wait two more days to hear it, but here it is. All of our Advent preparations have come to this moment, so we can say with bold exuberance, "Merry Christmas," for the gospel has been proclaimed. Now, to be fair, this gospel is one we probably hear less than any of the other renditions of the Christmas story, but it is a unique gospel in itself and good for us to hear this day, also in preparation for what we will hear in 2 days. If you recall, Matthew's gospel begins with 17 verses of a genealogy of Jesus. And then finally we get to verse 18, which is where we have begun today's gospel reading, with Matthew's matter-of-fact announcement. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in this way. No fanfare, no great stories of the experience of Mary encountering the angel and the good news that she is to bear this child. There's no inclusion of a reunion between Mary and Elizabeth and the child leaping within the womb. There is no preface to help us understand that there was a census in Bethlehem, that there was going to be a movement, a long journey for Mary and Joseph. There are no inns that are empty are looking to be filled, and there is no place for Mary and Joseph. That is not included in this narrative. There are no shepherds. There are no angels other than the angel that comes to Joseph. There isn't even a manger scene or the baby Jesus in those swaddling clothes. No, we have to wait just a couple more days, for that is the Luke narrative of the Christmas story. It seems that Matthew's story of the birth of Jesus is very clear and concise. In fact, Matthew is far more concerned with the marital status of Mary and Joseph and the identity of Jesus. His naming takes center stage in this particular story. The naming that comes to the responsibility of Joseph. And Joseph is lifted up in a significant way in Matthew's gospel. But we discover that the main actor in this story of Jesus' birth is truly God's own self. You see, right away we hear that the child conceived within Mary is from the Holy Spirit. God is the main actor here. This is confirmed in the dream where Joseph is told of this gift through the Holy Spirit. And because God is at work, Joseph and Mary do not need to be afraid. And the name given to Jesus, the name that Joseph is to give to him, is that which has deep meaning too. Its significance is centered around God's action. Yeshua, the Hebrew version of Joshua, or Jesus, means God saves. God is at work here. And even in the name Emmanuel, we are affirmed with that promise that God is with us. The angel comes to Joseph, giving him this instruction, and Joseph listens and follows. It is a reminder that the Gospel of Matthew centers around the Holy Family and how God is now at work within this gift of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all given glimpses of in Matthew's Gospel. And all of this is finally the fulfillment of what we have been working toward throughout all of our gatherings for worship since September through these months up until this moment when we have listened to the gospel stories of Jesus in this day. We have heard all along in the Old Testament story the arc of God's salvation history that is culminated in this reading this morning. All of the promise for God's people, all of the prophetic words given point to this Savior to be born. Last week it was Isaiah, and in the dream we hear in Isaiah chapter 7 that promise, look, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you will name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Joseph awakes from the dream and now realizes their fulfillment has come. The waiting is finally over. For many people, in fact, millions of people around the world, the waiting is finally over. Now, I'm not talking about the end of the presidential impeachment trials. I'm not even talking about how we have been waiting, many of us, for the end of school so that there is a break again. Or maybe even the waiting we have experienced, hoping for warmer days. Those have finally come. And how it is we have now entered into a new season, having the winter solstice. We have light that will be returning, longer days. No, I'm not talking about that waiting that has ended. Finally, the wait has ended. Because now the latest Star Wars movie has been released. Oh, finally, the wait is over. Episode 9, if you are not a Star Wars fan, I'll fill you in. Episode 9 has finally been released in the theaters, and if you are a fan like I am, it seems like it has been a long time to wait. The first Star Wars movie came out in 1977. Where were you in 1977? Seems like a long time ago. I'm not sure exactly where I was that I missed that release. I was 9 years old, but somehow I never saw it in the theaters. But I remember 1983. That was the release of Star Wars: The Empire Strikes Back, Episode 5. I remember going with my friends and having no idea how fantastic it would be, the special effects, the great storyline. I was sucked in. I loved that movie. In fact, it is one of my top 10 favorite movies of all time. I loved that movie so much, I must have gone 15 times to see it in the theater. I remember even getting the VHS videotape and watching it till I about wore it out. And I could recite every word of dialogue in that film. I watched it so much. I loved it. It became a part of the fabric of my being. Something about the whole story just sucked me in. I knew it like the back of my hand. I never tired of watching it. I wonder if that is how we experience this story, the Christmas story, each year. Because it is told again and again. Perhaps it is a story that you feel like is in the fabric of your being. Can you remember the first time you heard the Christmas story? Maybe. Likely you've heard it so many times you couldn't even remember when you first heard it. Perhaps you could recite every word of Luke's gospel if you were pressed. And maybe you never tire of hearing that story told. Our accompanying Old Testament text is one of those particular readings from Scripture that we never tire of hearing. Psalm 23 and its comforting and powerful words about the Lord being our good shepherd. Do you remember the first time you heard that story? Could you recite every word of Psalm 23? Do you never tire of hearing it? This Christmas will be just like every other Christmas in that the story is the same. The story remains unchanging. That God is at work. That God has chosen to be with you. That God chooses to be your shepherd and to guide you. that God has come to be about of their very fabric of our being, to know flesh and blood like ours, to be in the fullness of our life, messy as it may be, but the fullness of our life, even unto death, and to a life of resurrection to come. And because of this, we are freed. Because of this God who is at work, we are free to live fully in the promise, to live in a way in which we can dream new dreams and trust in the one who will offer us direction. This season brings with it many traditions, among them music, the gift of carols and song. Perhaps you have a favorite Christmas carol or song that you like to hear in this season, whether it's sacred or secular. One of the most iconic and most loved songs is "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas." It has always been in the number one spot until this year, when it was eclipsed by Mariah Carey's "All I Want for Christmas Is You." Kind of a bummer. But at the same time, great song. the wonderful singing of "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas." If we close our eyes, we can hear Bing Crosby. In fact, it was Bing Crosby who sang that song for the first time on a Christmas day in 1941. It happened to be the same year that just weeks before Pearl Harbor was attacked. Something about that song took hold of the American spirit and the sense of bringing just a little bit of light in the midst of fear and grief and uncertainty. But did you know that Leonard Bernstein, who had written that song, actually wrote it as a balm to he and his wife, who had lost a child on Christmas Day, just 13 years prior to the release of that song? It is 2019. There are still troubles in this world, divisions, wars, uncertainties, and griefs. It is in the midst of our prayers this day that we will lift up those griefs that are near to us in our own family of faith. Losses that you perhaps have experienced too make this an especially difficult Christmas. In our prayers today, we will lift up the name of a wonderful husband and father and grandfather named Myron. His family grieves his loss this morning. We will lift up the name of a woman whose death comes as a terrible accident, one that was a part of the news this past week. Her family grieves, especially her husband, as he is experiencing injury and is hospitalized. And we lift up the name of our very own Pastor Bob Anka as he grieves the loss of his daughter, almost 30 years to the date of losing his beloved wife, Dolores. So much pain, so much grief that this world still holds. And so we need to hear again, repeated in a story we know so well, we could recite every single word, because that story comes as gift to us again, that in the midst of darkness and pain and grief, nothing can steal our joy, because our joy and hope is found in the gift of a Christ child, born to be with you, born because we need a Savior, born to free us so that we do not live in darkness, but rather we live in light. And even in the midst of this season of hope and joy, even as we grieve and mourn, there is the promise that we hold fast. And so we sing and we listen and we proclaim and we continue to move forward in faith. And in the midst of our singing, we hold on to the promise. A promise that we hear in that beautiful song, a children's song, really, one that we know by heart, "Away in the Manger." Verse 3. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask you to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in your tender care and fit us for heaven to live with you there. Amen.